Andrew Geddes is a third-year student at Virginia Tech's Carilion School of Medicine who observed firsthand the consequences of opioid addiction.
For me, as a professional, experiencing injection drug use and overdose in person was definitely new. In the United States, medical providers just aren't legally allowed to be around during injection drug use, and therefore we're not around right when overdoses happen. We're really just here to pick up the pieces. My first shift at the site was so nerve-wracking. I remember sitting there and clutching my Narcan kit, and my eyes are going a mile a minute. I'm trying to watch every single person in there at every single moment, and every time someone closed their eyes, I'd be running over and trying to assess them. And what I realized really quickly is that this kind of stress is just part of the daily life of someone who is addicted to injection drugs. It's not only death, but law enforcement and crime and violence, these are all kind of always right around the corner. And considering that injection behaviors often stem from mental health issues, this just isn't the type of environment where you can expect anyone to get well. But to me anyways, that's kind of the point of the site, is to take over that stressful responsibility of keeping these people safe from death and surround them with options for treatment and other things that support their health and their well-being and their recovery.
What is a supervised injection program, and why are they so controversial?
A supervised injection site provides a place where people can inject illegally acquired substances in a sanctioned space without fear of legal repercussions, in a setting that's safe, where access to treatment and other resources is not only provided, but it's encouraged. And there's over 90 of them operating in over 60 cities throughout the world. In Europe, this is a strategy that's been used since the 1970s with very little fanfare. And here, there's a lot more controversy. So until this year, when they expanded their programming, Vancouver in Canada was home to the only one in the entire continent of North America. These are sites that take injection drug use, which is a behavior that's illegal and has for the most part been hidden out of view at the fringes of society, and it creates a space for them to be permissible and visible. And the controversy that surrounds this is pretty obvious, right? Drug use is something that can be devastating, both to individuals and to their families and to their communities. Most people think logically that permitting this means promoting it. And the message we're trying to get out is that there is a massive difference between allowing for it and encouraging it. The evidence from these other sites clearly shows that allowing for it in a regulated place like a supervised injection site actually decreases drug use and increases public order. We know from decades of experience with the war on drugs that making these activities illegal actually makes this problem much, much worse. It's a struggle to take these cold, boring public health and research statistics and try to fight with that powerful gut reaction of, oh my God, this is a terrible thing. How could you allow for it?
Are there any legal problems here or there that would prevent widespread use of this?
Yes. There are major legal obstacles to this type of intervention. The primary issue is that any provider who works here is aiding in criminal activity directly. In a needle exchange program, which just became legal in Virginia this year, which is very exciting, the staff doesn't technically see anything illegal. They counsel people, they provide and collect supplies, but the purpose of these supplies is assumed. It's never witnessed. Here, the staff is watching when the act of injecting drugs takes place. And anyone on their way to use this facility is in possession of illegal drugs. It's a very difficult balance to strike with local law enforcement, but it's not impossible. In the end, programs like these can actually work really well hand in hand with law enforcement. They help to reduce on-the-job needle sticks, and they allow officers to turn their focus away from minor low-level drug offenders. Cook County in Washington State voted this year to allow for a supervised injection site, which will be the first in the country. They did so with the support of local law enforcement. It's a really tricky issue because, much like marijuana legislation, however, this movement is not supported by the federal government. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens over in Washington State.
What is your takeaway from your experiences?
A major takeaway for me is that as a doctor in training, under the current rule of law, I can't do what's best for my patients. It's really frustrating because every doctor takes the Hippocratic Oath before they practice, which specifically says, first, do no harm. When we're treating a type 2 diabetic patient, for example, ideally, we can help them get their sugars under control through self-discipline, diet, and exercise, but if they're not ready for that, I can also sit there with them and observe them while they're injecting insulin and make sure that they're doing it safely and with clean supplies. And I can help instruct them on what to do if they take too much insulin. If I'm treating a patient in active addiction, I can do my best to stress that they should go to treatment. But if they're not ready for that or they're not going to do that, there's nothing that I can offer them, legally at least. In reality, there's plenty that could be done for them. And that's the stuff I got to do in Vancouver. Seeing a system of care delivery that is actually complete, or at least close to it, made me realize how broken our addiction treatment system really is. I'm really excited to see people talking about this issue more, and I'm optimistic about change. And for the record, take-home naloxone and needle exchange are two really big steps for Virginia. It, to me, though, is very shocking to see how bad things are and have needed to become before we've talked about anything other than just sending these folks to jail.
We've been talking with Andrew Gaddis, a third-year student at the Virginia Tech Carilion School of Medicine, who embarked on a Fulbright research grant to learn more about supervised injection sites and other alternative strategies used to fight opioid abuse that are not currently supported here in the United States. For Science Matters, I'm Charles Fishburne, WCVE News.